Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Welcome to the Inside Edge. The Blue Jackets have the night off. That's a rarity at this time of year when you look at the schedule. They'll be back in action, though, tomorrow night against the Edmonton Oilers at Nationwide Arena. I'm Bob McElligott with Jody Shelley. And, Jody, last night, Blue Jackets were in Pittsburgh. They had come off back-to-back wins. I thought there was such a great opportunity to get a third straight win. The Penguins were ripe for the picking. But, unfortunately, same thing happened that happened the previous 13 times at PPG Paints Arena. The Penguins were able to find a way to win that game. And I was joking with you on the bus afterwards. I looked at the score sheet and I said, Crosby didn't even have a point, and you still couldn't get a win against them. What the heck do you have to do? That's the way you walk away from a game like that. There were certainly good points, but the Blue Jackets, the mistakes that they made were ones that cost them.
Yeah, they made mistakes and bounces went the wrong way for them last night, and it just sounds such a cliche thing to say, but that's honestly what happened. You know, Goodbranson goes to clear a puck and a penalty kill, and it ends up going off Riley Smith and into the net. And okay, no problem. Then you get a take a penalty, and you get a shorthanded goal. And the next thing you know, another bounce on the penalty kill goes the Pittsburgh Penguins' way. And I will say, you know, the Blue Jackets' Andrew Peak got in the lineup. He got a bounce, and Malkin deflected his perfect shot past Jari, his netminder. So that's why we go to the games. That's why they dress up. I mean, it's live, and it's fun, and it's fast, and you see players working hard and battling. And it was a fifth game and seventh night. And I agree, this team should have won that game last night, and they didn't get it done, and it was a strange one at PPG Paints Arena in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it was really, really strange. Again, Crosby not getting a single point. I don't know, have we ever seen that when these two teams have gone head-to-head? Last time they played, Crosby had a hat trick here and an assist to go along with it. But, it was frustrating, but it shouldn't take away – well, it kind of does because it was that team. But the night before was such a great win against the Vegas Golden Knights, and it's another – little look into what this team is becoming, because they are turning a corner. It doesn't always show because of the outcome of the game, but look, the games now are much better than the games were in November, mid-December. They've learned how to play together as a team.
Well, you're seeing some cohesiveness too. Jenner, Goodrow, now Rossovic's in that spot. You know, you've got that cylinder line that's going. And so the ingredients of each line is coming along. The decor has been healthy. You know, they've played all year long pretty much in that same way, and that's been good. I mean, Werenski's been out a couple times, but, you know, it's a team, like a lot of teams around the league, where everybody has to be on, from the goaltending out, the penalty kill, the power play. They have to be on for the team to have success. And, you know, you look at a game early in the season where Boone Jenner gets a hat trick. Okay, you got the win. There's still that team game element that needs to happen. And I thought with secondary scoring from Nylander the other night, there was a lot of good things around that. But, I looked at Boone Jenner on the bench when they had a 3-goal lead, and he goes, how about this? You know, like kind of like, and there's like 5 minutes left. And it's like, how many times has this team been in that situation where it's not grind to the end or battle to fight back till the end? And I didn't think they were out of it last night, even with the being down two goals. I thought with, 7 minutes left, there was a chance that they were still going to win that game. And unfortunately, that empty net goal goes in. So Pittsburgh gets their win, and that's a team now that's 8 points out with 3 games in hand on Tampa and Philly. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch a team like that. It seems like that window is really getting tight.
Very, very tight. No question about that. Hey, the trade deadline is coming up on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock, so we're looking at less than 48 hours for that. You mentioned Jack Rossovic. He's been playing well with Johnny Gaudreau and Boone Jenner. And we're going to talk with John Davidson, the president of hockey operations and acting GM right now, in just a moment. We're going to have a real in-depth conversation with him about the thought process of what they're going through here when it comes to trades. But let's be honest, Jack Roslovic is at the top of the list. He's an unrestricted free agent. He's the only one on this team that's a UFA at the end of the year. They would like to move him and get something, and that will eventually create a hole on that top line that somebody's going to get a chance to fill. But you know, for Jack, you kind of feel bad in some ways because he's a local guy. They trade for him a couple of years ago. He comes back from Winnipeg, had opportunities here, got hot at the end of the year a couple of years ago. They give him a new contract. But, again, we always use the word consistency. He's playing well now, but he just hasn't been consistent enough in those last 2 years.
Well, he could be going to a Stanley Cup contender. He obviously should be. And you know, that's one thing. Of course, there's that emotional side, and you get nostalgic, of course. But this is a team that's finished at the bottom of the standings the past 2 years. And there's not a player in that locker room that doesn't understand that anybody could be moved. And if you don't have a contract for next year, they have to get an asset for it. So in this case, we're talking about Jack Roslovic, and there'll be teams interested in him. Wasn't healthy for a long period of time, then had to figure out his way, and I think he has now, where he's playing with that punch and that power, and he's understanding his role in the top line. But he's a guy now who's been around the league long enough that he can play in a few different situations and understand how to play. So it's just how it is here. It's just this team is going to deal with business with no acting general manager. They're going to take care of business, which has to be taken care of. Like opportunities, not letting a player like that just go to free agency and not get anything for him. And then we'll see what happens in the offseason.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Again, I don't expect it to be too busy. JD will talk with us about that. Might not be too busy, but that doesn't mean it won't be interesting. Hey, it's time to renew your Blue Jackets ticket plans. Make sure you get the best seats at the best prices. Plus, get guaranteed priority presale ticket access for the 2025 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series at the Shoe. Hurry up. The deadline to renew is April 1st. Visit BlueJackets.com/renew. John Davidson joins us next on The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. I'm Bob McElligott, alongside of Jody Shelley. We're joined right now by Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations and interim GM, for that matter, John Davidson. I'm just reminding you because the trade deadline's coming up in less than 2 days here.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
I know, I don't need to remind you. You're a busy guy.
Spent a lot of time on the phone lately compared to weeks and months past.
Well, it's been about 3 weeks since you let Jarmo Kekalainen go, and that's what I was going to ask you. How different has your life been in these last 3 weeks?
Everything's changed. And, you know, sometimes when you go through something like this, it's just what it is. And right now we're trying to get through a season. We've got the trade deadline coming up, as you mentioned, shortly, and then you've got to be involved with the search along with Mike Priest regarding a new general manager. So we're getting inundated with people that would love to be interviewed for the job, which is a wonderful thing. It's a good situation here, so people realize that. And then so you assume more responsibilities, and you try not to do too much because there's going to be a new person in here as general manager, so you want to have that person make a lot of the very important decisions going forward. So, yeah, we're just trying to, as a group, keep the ship going in the right direction. Our team has continued to play hard. We've had some nice wins. I thought in Pittsburgh we lost the game, but we played well for a good portion of it and shot ourselves in the foot a little bit, plus some bad luck. But we're seeing good efforts for the most part.
Well, let's talk about that trade deadline, and you just kind of alluded to it. Don't look for any big bang things to happen, although it's not always out of the realm of possibility. Somebody could knock your socks off when you weren't expecting it. But are there just little maintenance things that you're looking to do right now?
Yeah, I'd say that that's a fair thing to say, trying to take care of business. What you don't want to do in this game is lose somebody and not get something back compensation-wise. So you try to work through that. We don't have a lot that's obvious to do. However, I've told the other general managers we're open for business, whether it's retaining money for picks or trying to make maybe even a bigger deal. But it would have to be something, as you mentioned, Bob, that's going to be very inviting for us to do it. So open for business, always listen. I mean, that's my job or our jobs with our staff. And if something comes along that makes a whole lot of sense, I'll run it up the flagpole and see where it goes with recommendation. But the way it looks now going in is I don't think there's going to be anything major. We've got to take care of business. That's our jobs too. So that's where we're sitting, getting a lot of calls. It's picked up in the last day or so. And I think that what happens too, guys, is come Friday, the last day, a lot of teams know which players you might be willing to move, but that they might not be number one on their list. They may be number two or number three. So when the guy that's number one on their list, if it's knocked off and they go somewhere else, then they may end up giving you another call and see where it goes from there.
The one trade that you did make so far, you were just talking about, you don't want to give something away without getting anything.
Yeah.
Emil Bemstrom goes to Pittsburgh. You get Alex Nylander and a pick back. That pick is number six right now. If Bemstrom can score five more goals in Pittsburgh, it would go to a number three. How much of a win do you consider that trade to be when you're looking at a guy that went through waivers twice this year and didn't get claimed?
Well, I don't look at it as a win. I just think we're trying to take care of business. And then, you know, if it ends up being the sixth, then I hope we make a great pick at six. And that's going to be a long way down the road before that particular person comes and possibly plays for you. So I think it's a deal that just made a lot of sense. And I know Pittsburgh is, it seems like they're going to be close to going through a process of their own, so they're going to look at young people and see if that person can bloom for them. And maybe Bemmer can for them. And if he does, God bless him. He's a good kid, and if he does, good. For us, Nylander's had a very strong start here. He's a smart player. He's got a lot of tools. He's got to be able to ride that wave and continue riding, and not saying score a hat trick every night, but contribute. He's a smart player along the boards. He gets pucks out. He's not going to run people through the boards, but he's intelligent and does. We saw him go to the net for a goal where he scored on the second or third rebound the other night against Vegas. So we'll see where it all goes. You also look at this as a player's opportunity where he knows time could be running out, so he's going to give it everything he's got. If he does really well, we'll see if he can sustain. But it's just something we had to do, and we'll continue to look at those types of things.
When you look at the landscape, you say taking care of business is what you guys are doing. It's not as easy as we think, is it?
No. You need dance partners, and then you look at the cap, and then you see which teams, you know, could actually look at somebody, and some of them might think, yeah, that player's pretty good, and others might say, he's not, we don't want him, forget about it. So you're constantly on the phone. It's interesting, Jody, because you have your list of all the teams, and you keep checking in with them, and they call and check in with you, and where are you, what are you thinking, and you know darn well that they like your player or two players, but they're not quite ready because they got somebody ahead of them. So you just got to go through this whole process and get closer to the deadline and see where it goes. But it's hard these days. The old days, back when even when I played, you make a trade. And that's it. There was no...
One call?
Yeah, one call, that's it. You make a trade. Nowadays, it's way, way, way more complicated.
You talked about the next GM coming in, that this is a good situation. From your point of view, can you kind of give us what you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I've said this a number of times, and when I say this, I'm very sincere about it. First of all, I think a person coming in, no matter what city it is going to look at the roster and see where they are. This isn't a rebuild or something starting from scratch. We've got a lot of pieces, and these pieces have already played. They haven't, and I use the word popped maybe too often, some of them haven't popped yet, but you can sense they're getting closer to it. Chinnikov showed us this season. Marchenko has shown that at times. I'd take Sillinger. He's shown us really good things, and then he's gotten quiet, but then he's bounced back. So you can see at his age he's starting to – and these are just three of a multitude of them. Then you look at ownership, and we have fabulous ownership. Our ownership here is very, very supportive of everything we try to do. And that starts, I guess, with Mike Priest, who works with the ownership more than I do. And then you look at the city itself. Who would want to live here? I mean, there's glowing reports on what it's like to live in this city. So I think there's I don't see a negative why somebody wouldn't want to come and be the general manager of the Columbus Blue Jackets. I don't see one at all. And so, and our crowds, how supportive have they been this season? So it was interesting when I went to St. Louis and started in the management business, we had 4,000 a night, 4,500. And I've always said they were the greatest fans in the world because they came and watched, and we were that when we went there, that team was below with 32 teams or whatever. It was 35th. It was tough, but we went through it and found ways to. I remember trading, I think it was Keith Tkachuk, and getting a first. Then he'd come back and re-sign for us. Then we trade him again for another first at the deadlines, you know, just trying to find something to build a team. We would trade, I think it was Lee Stempniak, for two NHL players. And so we got two NHL players because we only had one. So we were just trying to find a way to do it and went through that arduous, long, terrible process. But, you know, and I ended up leaving St. Louis. They went on to win, and they the 20 players dressed that last game when they won in 7 in Boston. 10 of them we had brought in. So it was half of their roster, which I felt good about. I felt really good about. So I think this situation for somebody to come in is good. And I can tell you, in all seriousness, we've had dozens of people reach out, whether it's through email or phone calls or agents or whatever, secondaries, a friend of a friend. We're dozens. So it's going to be a good process to go through. A lot of people want this thing.
It's interesting what you just talked about, because that's kind of that's a part of this position, which sometimes you don't get the glory of winning the Stanley Cup, but there is something there with building and yeah. And the impact in New York. You weren't there long, but you did make changes, and St. Louis. And even when you were in New York looking back here, the fondness of seeing where they were at,
yeah.
How does that impact your, I guess, your experience right now?
You know, you look at it because you first of all, you look because you can learn. What did we do right? What did we not do right? And there's some things on both sides of that coin, but I look at the 2020 draft, and it was a good draft for the Rangers. They drafted Lafreniere, who's becoming a very good player. They drafted Remke, the big tough kid who's in doing his thing now. We traded Elias Anderson to Los Angeles, got a pick, and picked Will Cooley, who's playing for them now. There's going to be two other players from that draft, Garand, who's a goalie, and Berard, another player. They both will play. And then I'm forgetting somebody. Oh, Schneider, the defenseman. That's not a bad draft. And so I'm proud of that with our scouts that did the work. Very proud of it. And those are the things that you go through and you look back. I had Doug Armstrong was funny line when they talking to him. He took over as the general manager when I left St. Louis. And I actually, before that, because I hired him. And he said, you know, it's interesting. Somebody plants the trees and others enjoy the shade.
It's true, right?
That's what it is. You know, you live with it. You deal with it. You've got to keep your passion. You have to keep your energy level. And you have to fight the fight. There's going to be good things that happen. There's going to be roadblocks. There's going to be potholes. I'll go back this season to the Juracek thing that created a lot of noise. And we have to keep our ears open to noise, but don't overreact to it. I mean, Juracek simply wasn't playing. He was told, and I don't mean to rehash it, but it's an interesting story where he made the team out of camp, and then his play slipped a little bit. He wasn't playing, or others were playing better. This is the coaches. So you got to have a kid play. It's pretty simple. He's a young player. The American League is sitting right there down the road, and you got to play. And he'd sat, I think, 9 straight games. Play. That's it. Just play. And that happens all over the league. And so noise is noise. I understand opinions. I get that. But we have to do what we believe in, and we're going to continue to do that.
And when you look at a game plan and how you grow in an organization, there are lean years. I mean, we were just in Pittsburgh. That's a very unique situation. Every organization has their own thing. And I just remember, now you're on this side of it where you're kind of holding pat and not pushing for a playoff and getting that player, the experience you've had on either side of it where, you know, these teams are, you understand what they're trying to get out of you. And that's a huge advantage for you as well, isn't it?
Well, I like to lean on experience. Again, I'll bring it up when I saw Rick Tockett, the coach of Vancouver, interviewed, and he talked about the word process. So everybody says, they keep saying that word process. And he said, I don't think the word process is used enough. He doesn't believe in stats. He believes in the player's improvement himself. And I agree with that totally. This is a 200-foot game. Just because a kid comes in and scores 3 goals in 5 games doesn't mean he's playing well. It means he scored. But there's more to that if you want to have a winning environment and a winning club. So it's been very unique to go through this stuff. It's hard, and I'll be bluntly honest with you guys. When I got canned in New York and didn't expect that, because we were on the road to doing some really good things there, and I got invited to come back here, and I sat down with my wife and I said, "Yeah, I love Columbus. I love the Blue Jackets. We should think about this." And then I said, "Oh, it's gonna be hard. Going to be hard because I know and I knew where we were as a club." And we decided and made the decision. Let's go back because it's such the environment, the fans, the ownership, the quality of life in this city is a very special thing. And I keep saying that, but I'm not saying this just to say it. It's the truth. And so we decided to come back, and it's hard. It's hard having to talk to Yarmo about not working here anymore. Yarmo's been a guy I've known since St. Louis a lot of years ago, and he lives it. And I still talk to him, obviously, because we're friends. But it was hard. This business is hard. But you have to do what you have to do.
Tonight we're talking with Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations and Interim General Manager John Davidson. We'll continue the conversation right after this on The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, here on 97.1 The Fan. We're talking with Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations, John Davidson. Let's talk about the type of GM that you're looking for right now, because when you brought Yarmo in, and I think you've said this, you were looking for a draft guy, a guy you knew you had to restock the cupboards, right? Where are you this time around? Do you feel like the cupboard is pretty stacked and you need something different?
I think through Yarmo, our amateur side in particular is good. We've done a pretty good job drafting. There's always misses, but it's been pretty good. So we're not going to touch that. So that's in good shape. It's the story that if you're out there and you're climbing a mountain, the higher you go up the mountain, the harder it is to climb. It gets steeper. There's less oxygen. It just gets harder and harder and harder. Not that I know about it, but that's what I hear. And so when I look at our club, we've gotten ourselves to a certain spot here right now. We've got to find somebody, at least in my mind, to come in and get us to that next level, that next step or two or three. And generally, that's a person with experience. So, and there's been a lot of people that have talked to us about the job that have a lot of experience. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean you had to be the GM, but you might have been the assistant GM, for instance, for a long time in a good organization and learn from people. People deserve their opportunities. And so I always say that in the organization, that your business you're running, and this probably goes for any business, know your seat on the bus. If you know your seat on the bus and you're really good in that seat on the bus, you're going to get a chance to change seats. That's how it works. But if you jump out of that seat and you try pushing things and getting ahead of yourself, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So I think that knowing the list that we've had to this point, it's going to be a very hard, difficult decision because there's a lot of very qualified people.
So it's kind of like a roster building type of thing, right? Because you can have a roster, but a roster is different than a team. Yeah. Like you can have a lot of pieces, but you got to figure out how those pieces interact. And maybe, hey, this piece doesn't work the way that we thought it was going to work, so we've got to move that piece for a piece that's going to fit.
See, there's two things there. One is that when you bring somebody else in, and we've been together here for a long time, they may have a very different view on some people. And you got to listen to that because sometimes you fall in love with what you already have. And so in the world of hockey, you might be wrong at that, and you're loyal or maybe too loyal or something along those lines. So that's got to be a strong part of this exercise. And you're right about the building a team, not just assemble talent. Square peg in a round hole, it doesn't work. Example, this is a classic example. I think it was when I was doing the television work, Jody, in New York, missed the playoffs 6 straight years with the highest payroll in the league by 2 miles. And I remember going into Ottawa, day of a game skate, went into the locker room to talk to players to do my TV job, and the Ottawa media were there, and they were walking around going, "Oh, my God, this is an all-star team. Look at all these players. This is an all-star team." Missed the playoffs because pure talent doesn't win. Teams win. And so that's what we're in the middle of.
JD, what is the role of a GM?
You've got to build an organization, and you have to be able to have your people that want to work for you and you trust, and have good people in every area, whether it's pro scouting, amateur scouting, knowing the CBA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then I think it's too tough a job today to have just the GM and nobody else. The world of hockey's gotten too big. It goes too fast. There's more going on than you can imagine. And it's not just finding talent or putting a team together. You get curveballs every day. A player doesn't want to play for this coach. A player has a problem with somebody in the family having an illness. It just goes, there's curveballs all the time. So you're dealing with that, you're dealing with your organization, you're building a minor league team. But like us with Cleveland, we think we've done a good job there. Chris Clark is in charge of that. He does a good job. So you've got to be able to facilitate all of that, and then build up not so much a trust, but an understanding of all the other GMs and how you're going to deal with them when you talk to them. Build up rapport. Build up personality with him, and figure out how all that works too. So there's a multitude of different things that go on, but you got to hire good people, otherwise you don't have a chance.
So there's a lot of it is managing people then.
Oh yeah, yeah. A lot of it is managing people. A lot of it is getting the right people in the right spots. A lot of it is understanding the game. A lot of it is when times get a little nasty or a little tough, keep your wits, because people are gonna come at you. People are gonna say things and do things. That's the nature of the beast. And I'm not saying it's wrong. It's reality, but you got to deal with that and stay with it. Stay with it. And you know, if you're looking for a goalie coach, find the best one you can find. You know, stuff like that. And I think too, today players are a little different. You've got to be able to find the coaching staff and have an understanding of how you deal with 23, 25 personalities. They come from different worlds. Mm-hmm. Some come from Russia. Some come from Sweden. Some from Canada. Some from different parts of the U.S. Florida's different than Boston, just in the way the culture is. It just is.
Not if you're on the East Coast.
Well, East Coast is a little different than the Midwest.
Yeah, that's right.
So you've got to understand each athlete and deal with them to pull the best out of them, and they should appreciate that. You have to build rapport with agents.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you want to really get upset, like I have in the past, but you got to catch yourself, and it's business. Deal with it.
I remember when you first got here, the organization and where it was at, and you guys had the mantra you put it in a great perspective where it was brick by brick, and yeah. You could really feel it changing, and there was a real, it was like you guys were marching up a hill to make this right. And then when you left and came back, it seemed to be that it had gone a little bit different.
Well, I think what happened was that I was here too. We went all in that one year to try to beat Tampa Bay, and then ended up losing to Boston right in six.
Gave up the first round pick,
yeah,
right?
Gave up a lot of things. But when you think about it, in reality, they found a way to draft Chinnikov late in the first round. So I think the guys have tried to, but when you go like that and it doesn't work, or if you lose a Panarin and a Bobrovsky for nothing, that hurts you. So you're constantly trying to get yourself going again as an organization. I know that with Bobrovsky, he didn't want to waive his no trade, so you couldn't trade him. And I get that. He had every right in the world. It's nobody's fault. It's just what it is. With Brad, the whole world knew he was going to go to New York.
Yeah.
So why would some other teams give up valuable assets knowing he's going to New York? So that sort of happened. You got to deal with it. Both those players gave us some wonderful hockey. It was both of them were stars to watch. That was fantastic. I'll never forget Brad's goal in Washington in overtime. That backhand where the puck rolled down his blade. I don't know how he scored that, but he did. And Bob won awards and this and that. So you just get up in the morning, go back to work.
I want to ask you about Pascal Vincent and the job that he has done as a coach. He came in under the most difficult of circumstances, taking over a team 4 days before training camp started. This is a guy, and we've now been able to watch him for months and months. And I'll admit, I'm impressed, because he's waited for 30 years to be a head coach in the National Hockey League. And it's almost like every day he approaches it, you know, I've thought about this situation for years and what I would do, and now I'm here, and now I'm going to do it. And it's not always the most popular thing with the noise from the outside, but it seems that he's been pretty consistent with his message and his accountability. What do you think of the job he's done?
Well, accountability is a big word. I mean, you'd know that, Jody. You've been when you're on a team, and if you don't have accountability, that's an issue as players. One player go, well, I got canned and he didn't. You know, it's just natural.
Yeah.
It's human nature. So you have to manage that. I'd give Passy good marks for sure, because he was very disappointed he didn't get the job to start with. And we all know what happened with Mike Babcock and all that. The one good thing about Mike for 2 months there, he came in every morning here and had like a coaching clinic with our coaches and helped teach them things. And they were very appreciative of that. Mike Babcock did a fabulous job doing that for us before everything hit the fan, and that was the end of it. So for Pascal, it was all of a sudden And he embraced the opportunity for sure. He's been waiting a long time. He puts his time in for sure. And I think he's learned a lot. It's a learning curve for you can be an assistant coach for 25 years or junior coach or whatever it is. It's different when you're in the chair. And he's learning a lot. It's just different. It's broadcasting world. If you work in the American League and do a good job and you get a chance at the NHL, it's a different world. It's just different. And so, yeah, he's worked his tail off at it.
We are speaking with Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations, John Davidson. We'll come back and wrap up the conversation and the Inside Edge presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan. We're inviting you to make memories with the whole family when the kids take over Nationwide Arena on Saturday at 12:30. Starting at $30 per person, the Dispatch Family Value Pack includes your game ticket, a value meal, and more. Purchase yours at bluejackets.com/family. I'm Bob McElligott with Jody Shelley. We're talking with Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations, John Davidson, as we get set to wrap up tonight's show.
I have a couple things I want to ask you, JD. I'm just wondering, I'd like to ask, what's the best locker room you've been in as a player?
Oh, boy. Ooh, that's a good question.
Hey, you guys went to the Stanley
Cup Finals in 79. We played Montreal.
Yeah. Goaltender was the star, I heard.
Sometimes you get lucky. A few goalposts. That team was great. We had a blend of veteran players like Phil Esposito and others, and we had young players, real young players, and they were full of vinegar and just. And I was a young player then too, and we had the time of our lives.
Who was your roommate?
Oh, I had different ones.
No, didn't you have?
We had
what's his name?
We had three goalies back then.
Oh,
now, you're thinking of Eddie Johnson when I was playing in St. Louis. He was 38 years old. I was 19. And first road trip, we're rooming together. We go out and have dinner and come back to the room. I'm just a kid. And he shuts the door to the room and he puts the chain on and then he puts the other, locks it. Then he takes a chair and slides it underneath the door handle to make sure nobody would get in. And I'm going, oh, my God, what's going on here? He's one of the great guys. But that team with the Rangers was something else. Phil Esposito is a legend in his own. He's a Hall of Fame player. Still holds the record for the most shots on goal in one season at 550. Ovechkin hasn't come close. Nobody has. He was playing for the Bruins. And of course, they had Bobby Orr and the great ones there. They won two cups. But it was a fascinating time. And maybe the biggest thing of all was when we got into the finals, we as a hockey club, we came out of nowhere. We beat Los Angeles, Philadelphia, and the Islanders. We were the last team to beat the Islanders before they won four straight cups. We turned on New York City. Now, just think about that. New York City is, with all our millions and millions and millions of people, we turned them on. It was an unexpected, fabulous ride. And then, of course, they won it in 94, and that was pretty good, too.
I just asked that because I'm always fascinated by room dynamics. Yeah. I know it was a lot different time, but it's still the characters that bring those rooms together,
yeah,
right?
Esposito was a very caring guy who really wanted to just win. He had it in him. The two Maloneys, Dave and Don. Don's now a member of management with Calgary. Dave does the radio in New York. Those guys. Don Maloney shows up at camp and he starts doing all this stretching and all this stuff. I'd never seen that before. What the heck is this? And he was way ahead. And next thing you know, we're all doing it too. He was the first guy I ever seen do all this.
Right.
But this is back in the early 70s. So it's a long time ago. And Dave Maloney, he ended up being captain. He was one wired guy. I mean, there was different personalities and it was fun. That was a great time, and of course, when you played back then in Madison Square Garden, it was a rather demonstrative building. If you were playing good, you could just, it would, but if you weren't playing so good, you'd feel it then. I remember being on a bad stretch, and they were actually throwing stuff at my wife sitting up there. God's truth back then, oh yeah.
The blue seats, or?
No, they were better than that, but they, people got upset, but when you play good, they told you, man, and you just, right, skate out, look at there's Billy Joel sitting there, there's this person. It was fabulous. It was just a great thing to lean back on. I used to sit in the booth when I was doing TV there, Jody, and I'd sit there before the game, nobody in the building, and look down and say, what the hell am I doing here? I'm just a kid from Calgary. I'm in New York City at Madison Square Garden. I can't believe this. So it's been a pretty good ride.
I also wanted to ask you, I'm kind of going all over the map here, Bob, but I want to ask you about the playoff race here now in the National Hockey League. You know, seems like things are set. I know Pittsburgh still has a little bit of runway, yeah, but what different. Do you think of this, the format, everything going on with this right now?
But if you look at the last couple of 3 years, whatever, it's, a lot of teams have been in it. This one's a little bit of an outlier from my point of view anyway, and correct me if I'm wrong.
No, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so it happens. It's going to happen. But, you know, some teams like Nashville just got hot. They got really hot. I think they've lost one in overtime in their last 9 games. They've won the other 8. So you can get on a ride, and all of a sudden you're in there. But, It's you like the battle all the way through, but it's going to happen. It's happened this year where there's not quite as many teams that are really into it. You know, the one thing I would look at, and it's kind of too bad with us, is, and I give our team credit because they're playing hard, but you want them, if you're not in the playoffs, to be in the race.
Yeah,
that's healthy for your club. That's pressure. That's learning to live with pressure, and that's something that going into this season we had hoped for.
What's the timetable on Adam Fantilli? You have any idea?
No, he's just trying to heal. Sometimes, I mean, he's a significant cut to the back above the Achilles. Very lucky that he was protected with the socks he was wearing. That could have been serious. But he's here. He wants to play, but we're not. I'll say this. I don't want players to play until they're healthy. So he wants to play, but we're not letting him until he's healthy. And if it's another week or two, it's going to be another week or two. Then he's going to go out there without the fear of something happening.
And is that true? You cannot assign him to the Cleveland roster because of the situation?
That's right. If you're injured before the trade deadline and you get healthy after the trade deadline, you can't go play in the playoffs in the American League. It's a rule that I don't understand. But we have general managers' meetings coming up, and I'm going to just try to get that explained to me. I don't get it. And it has something to do maybe with some teams trying to send players there that they shouldn't be sending. So the PA Players Association is protective of it. But in this situation, Adam Fantilli's been out for a while. He's a first-year pro. He loves the game. And I haven't even talked to him about possibly going down there. But it's a moot point now. But why wouldn't he? Why wouldn't you go there and try to win a championship? Zach Werenski did it, you know? With us. So, but it's a rule and you got to live by the rules.
Yeah, it should be an exemption for that. Yeah. I would agree.
Are you sure you can't dress him tomorrow?
Yeah. Just sit on the bench.
Yeah. Just play a guy down. Yeah, sit on the bench and I can paper you and then you can be hurt again.
And then you get caught and you're going to be fined a lot of fishnagles. So that'd be good.
One last thing, the Kent Johnson injury. Yeah. How devastating is that for a guy that was talked about? You wanted him to do a lot of working out and put on a lot more weight this summer, and now he's got a shoulder injury, which might hamper some of that.
And he could have been a player in the playoffs, too, in Cleveland, right? Can't happen now. It was last play of the game, last face-off of the game.
And only taking the face-off because Cole had gotten hit in the hand. Yeah, it was like the craziest circumstance.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And somebody was accusing the other center of Rosnitsky or something. I don't think it was. I think it was just a play. You know, I looked at it. But anyway,
it just looked like a battle. I thought,
yeah, it's a face-off battle. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do? It's tough. It's tough. The kid is—he's a nice kid. He's a good kid, and he'll be ready for camp. At least it happened when it happened. We're getting right to it to get him repaired. He's going to have to really put in his time during the off-season. Not only stick handling and playing with a puck, which he just loves, but it's going to be the rest of the body. He's going to have to get stronger. And he knows that. He's a young player, and again, got to go through that thing, and we're going to make sure that we're talking to him every week or so if he's going to stay in Vancouver for the summer and bring him in here when we can. And he wants it. He loves the game, so I think it'll be okay.
How about Jake Bean trying the Michigan last night?
I saw that. I almost fell out of the booth. It might have been when I looked at that and tried to assess it quickly because it was happening in real time, it might have been a proper play because I don't think he had any other opportunity to do something. But if that would have worked, holy smokes.
It was like he just had that whole entire shift. It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was all over that puck, and then all of a sudden he scooped it up on the stick. And
I wouldn't even be able to think that fast to do it, but he did. It's just an instinct. I could see Kent Johnson doing it.
Yeah.
Or Zegras in Anaheim and all that, but Beaner, he tried it.
Would have been a beauty.
Wouldn't that have been something?
I thought the same thing. It was happening right in front of me, and I was like, did I see that? Was he really doing that?
Awesome.
Oh, we get the pucks went into our net last night. It was so weird.
Yeah.
And then we really started to dominate in the second period. I think at one time, starting the second to partway through the third, we'd outshot them 23-5, and couldn't get it done.
What do you think it is? We get asked that a lot.
I think we've gotten better. Our third periods have been better. I would like to see us in the offensive zone to get to the inside a little more. Like we did in the second, too, and it just wouldn't go in. But you think of Nylander's goal against Vegas. He was right there. You're going to take some punishment, but that's what you got to do. And I think we could do a better job of that. We only had one power play last night, and sometimes you've got to find a way to get that taken care of in a tight game. You know, that would be helpful if it got better. So there's different things, but and I know that some people may not want to hear it, but we're making progress. I sense it. I see it. I know it's not what we want, but I as a person that's in charge here, you can't overreact to it. You can't get too down on it. You're gonna have your moments. Like it was a quiet airplane ride home last night, as you guys know, and it's disappointing not to add to the get a few more games in, and especially want to win in Pittsburgh. We haven't done that in a long time, but there were some good things. The other thing, I guess, Jody, is sometimes when we make mistakes, they're just too big, and that's something we've got to learn to cut down on. I was looking today, actually, at save percentages by goalies in the league. It's down this year. It's way down compared to what it has been in years past. And maybe that's just the nature of when you have young teams, they're going to make more mistakes, and you're taught offense a lot more than you are defense compared to years past. So maybe this is just something we're going to have to get used to and still, though, try to do your work where your goals against gets a lot better. We're second last. We can't have that. But it's a strange scenario with all the goals that have been scored this year.
Well, J.D., thank you so much for this long and insightful conversation.
We and all over the map. I took them all over the map. Right. But you get a chance to talk to J.D., you got to get some stories.
A to Z, baby. So now we'll let you go get back on the phone and do whatever you're going to do now and Friday.
Enjoyed it. Thank you.
That's Blue Jackets President of Hockey Operations, John Davidson. Thanks to him for being on with us tonight. Also want to remind you, the Edmonton Oilers are in town tomorrow for a 7 o'clock start at Nationwide Arena. And then on Saturday, when Nashville is in town, that game gets underway at 12:30. For Jody Shelley, I'm Bob McElligott. So long, and thanks for listening to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank on 97.1 The Fan.